everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the PE Geek podcast. Now, it's been quite some time since the last episode, and as always, there has been an enormous amount of new tools and apps and all sorts of different things that have actually found their way into today's world, and ultimately will find their way into the classroom. So I'm always excited to share with you these particular tools that I myself see potential with. However, I firstly must apologize for that for the months since the last episode. However, I have been quite busy. I've just got back from a very big whirlwind tour throughout Asia in my holiday periods. And I was able to work with a number of teachers in China and in South Korea and in Indonesia. So big shout outs to those teachers. There was plenty of people doing some awesome things surrounding the world of technology and physical education. And just being able to work with teachers in that area is really inspiring. And it always pushes me even harder to get back and dive into creation of new content and new ideas. Now, we're about to embark on part 3 of our world tour very soon, and we're going to be heading across to New Zealand. So if you're listening to this and you're in New Zealand, you can register some interest to be told about the upcoming workshops by going to thepegeek.com/NZ. And at that stage there, you'll be able to put in your email address. And when we know more about the dates and venues and so on, we'll send out some information. And we've also in the process of organizing a Middle Eastern trip very soon. So yeah, really busy, but more importantly, that very much reflects the enormous potential that a lot of these tools have in the classroom. So I thank everyone for tuning in, and I thank everyone for making it possible for me to come and visit. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be exploring, again, 3 apps that have been used quite extensively in recent months. And we're also going to be sharing a couple of cool tools that definitely go to enhance and help broadcast the message to a wider audience. Now, the first app that I want to share with you today is one that was a really big feature in the last round of Connected PE workshops throughout Asia. The app is actually called Book Creator. And I recently blogged about this on the PE Geek blog. And it's not something that is absolutely brand new in any stretch of the imagination. It's actually been out for quite some time. However, you know, I've been sort of thinking about the best way to go about using it and how I could use it in a way that either supported some student learning or supported my role in assessment, etc. Now, the app Book Creator essentially allows you to produce a book. And, you know, this book is actually very much on par with the books that you can produce inside of the iBooks author tool that Apple have produced for Mac computers. It's really, really intuitive. You know, basically you get presented with a screen that's blank. You can pick your template of book, and then you just get started with the authoring of it. So it allows you to include text. It allows you to include audio, so you can record your own voice and include that in the book as well. And better yet, in a PE sense, you can incorporate video and photos. So this becomes a tremendously powerful tool for PE. Obviously, our biggest method of capturing and seeing things that people do is through video or through photo. Obviously, these are kinesthetic experience that kids actually strive for. And being able to capture those in those forms is very much supported through the use of Book Creator. So the way in which I've been thinking about this as a really powerful tool for one of my Year 8 classes at the present is in the form of a portfolio. Now, in the coming weeks, they're about to embark on using the app to capture and build a portfolio bank that showcases the skills that they have sort of accumulated across the course of the semester. You know, in each page of the book will be essentially a skill or a skill a series of skills that they have produced or have worked on, and they'll then supplement that with a little bit of a text-based explanation on how they think they went, as well as a series of videos and photos. And ultimately, I will leave some audio commentary on top of the book as a way of reflecting on their transition through the skills. So this is the perfect package. It allows you to combine all these elements that become really powerful assessment tools and really powerful tools for portfolios. Now, the cool thing about it is once your book has been completed, there are multiple ways that you can share it with a wider audience. Now, if you're familiar with Google and Google Drive, that is a really easy cloud-based tool that you can export the book to. It exports in the EPUB format, which means that you can open it with any EPUB reader, and there are heaps of them online for free. The other ways that you can export the app is via PDF. So, obviously people are very familiar with PDF. You can export the book that you produce in PDF, but the downside is that the audio and the videos, etc., won't play. So if you're dealing primarily with photos, then that's a perfect way to go about it. Book Creator, really powerful app. It can be used for anything, not just PE. But if you really go and have a look at my blog post on thepeergeek.com/bookcreator, you'll see a video tutorial that takes you through how the app works and just how simple it is to piece together information in this really visual way. And given that PE is very visual, it's very supportive to the way in which we accumulate information. Now, the second app I want to share with you is actually one that I've been using in the Connected PE workshops as a little bit of a brain break. Pretty much, that's the role that it has had. And it got me thinking about how much we probably take that for granted as a brain break, and how much learning actually probably has to go into it in order for us to just be able to pick it up and play with this app without much fuss. Now, the app is an active gaming app, and it's called PopFlux, and that's PopFlux. And if you're familiar with active gaming, essentially it basically uses the camera on the device and transposes you, the person, inside of the game. And you have to interact with the different things that are inside of that particular game. And in this particular example, there are different bubbles that are falling down on the screen, and you have to do everything in your power to clear the bubbles with your hand and avoid all the nasty bombs and knives and all that sort of thing. And if you actually watch someone who's engaged in the game, there is a serious amount of thought and process that actually has to go into it. There's all these different stimuli that they have to pick up on and react to, and it becomes really quite complex. Now, giving this to a group of PE teachers to do for a 4 or 5 minute brain break in the middle of a workshop is done with very limited fuss. They pick it up, they have a great time. It serves its purpose of getting people retuned and focused to work on some other content. But when you think about it, there's a lot of learning that's taken place to enable them just to pick it up and do that. And it's got me thinking about how valuable this would be with a really young audience. So the PopFlux app is something that I gave to and some younger kids to trial in our school. Now, we've just merged with the primary school. So we now have access to students from 4-year-old right to 18 years old. So we got a group of younger students to have a go at it, just for fun, a little bit of a competition at recess. And they didn't have the same level of skill and body awareness and kinesthetic sort of experience to be able to interpret their body position in that particular sense. So there was heaps of learning that took place. And initially, they really did struggle. But gradually, over time, they were able to pick up the cues from the game and actually interpret that into a real-world sense. And for me, that's a learning process that happened very, very quickly through the use of that app. So PopFlux, it's a free app. It's simple. It's a lot of fun. Just pair it. Get it involved in your classroom. Even if it's purely for a brain break purpose, then it definitely has a bit of a purpose. And if not, it's an absolute high level of fun. FUNN functional understanding is not necessary for this app. It's just a lot of fun. And yeah, there are some learning opportunities as well. Now, the final app I want to share with you is one that I myself have only recently brought out. Now, it's called Jump It. And Jump It is the second in the line of my new apps that are essentially resource-driven apps designed to get students moving. Now, Jump It is a series of over 50 skipping activities that you can do with students. Now, the way in which I design the app is purely based on a situation where you have one device and you want to share it with a wider audience so they can benefit from the activities. However, it works in multiple scenarios. You could use it in a one-to-one setting or one-to-four or whatever it might be. Basically, you open the app and you're presented with a really clear and concise drawing showing a student what type of skipping activity they need to complete. Now, at the very start, it's actually quite simple. But when they complete that, you know, they work on it for a couple of minutes, show some success with the criteria, they scroll on their screen and they get presented with the next jump activity. And they can do that for a total of 60 different activities. Now, all up, that I've used it in class and it took us two sessions to actually work our way through with varying levels of success, I must add, to the completion of the app. Some of the final jumps in Jump It are actually really difficult, and they are very much student-paced activities. So I had groups of students that were at very different stages in their development and at very different stages in the app. And that's really fantastic that you can sort of differentiate through the use of an app like that quite well. The really good benefit of the app that makes it better than its paper-based form is that there is capacity inside the app to take photographic evidence of people involved in those different balances. And then you can sort of compare those to other people that are working through it. But that's non-essential function, but just something that goes to add it. Now, I'm constantly adding new jumps into the application. So you'll forever see that new jumps get added in automatically. So what was 53 jumps will eventually become 60 and 70 and so on. So that's Jump It, and you can visit thepegeek.com/jumpit to be taken to a place where you can read more about it. Now, it's available on iPhone and iPad as two separate applications, and it's also available on Android as well for Android users. And if you don't have access to a mobile device, then there's also ebook formats that you can print out and use in your classroom. So there's the three apps that I've been using quite a lot recently. Definitely worth checking out. And I hope that you can find one and see a use for it in your classroom. Now, during the Connected PE workshops, I was fortunate to visit a school in Shanghai, which was full of teachers who had been to one of my previous workshops, and I really do thank them for electing to host the workshop in Shanghai. Now, on walking around their school and seeing their different facilities, one of the things that they showed me that was working really well in their classrooms was the underwater iPad cases. Now, these are something that I've heard about but never really explored in terms of how they could work in the classroom. Now, the idea of an underwater iPad case is pretty logical, isn't it? Like, you put a case around the iPad and it becomes something that you can chuck in the water and you can use for all sorts of different things. So this particular school, YK Power School in Shanghai, had been using iPads in the water and on the water's edge, and they'd done that in a way that sort of protected the devices and ensure that they could be used in that environment safely. Now, it's quite impressive the things that they were doing. They actually had paired them with students, and the students were working in small groups, and they were actually using Coach's Eye, the application, the video analysis application, to conduct some stroke assessment. And the fact that they were in the cases meant that they could be done. The students could film their technique on, say, let's breaststroke, ensuring that they had synchronized arms, etc., legs, and they could watch it back, put it aside, and work on it. So it became something that actually really truly benefited their learning experience in what is absolutely a very difficult skill. Now, I think back to when I was at university doing our swimming assessments, and I myself, I had trouble getting the breaststroke action, leg action in sync. Both of my legs were not quite perfect. One was a little bit higher than the other, etc. And I could only imagine how powerful it would have been had I been able to actually look at some video evidence then and there and actually use that to sort of improve my stroke. So well done to that school. And certainly, I hope that other people see how valuable that could possibly be. Now, I myself have a swimming class that kicks off at the start of every school year. So in February next year, underwater iPad cases are going to be present in my classroom. So if you want to buy one, then I've definitely gone and sourced the best one on the market. And you can pick that up at thepeergeek.com/iPadSwim. That's thepeergeek.com/iPadSwim. And with that, I guess the sky is the limit in terms of what you can do. So I look forward to hearing how other people might be using sort of the indestructible devices like that in their PE classrooms. Now, as always, I share the work of a teacher on Twitter who is constantly inspiring and constantly challenging things that I myself am doing in the world of physical education. Now, to support the idea of Twitter, I've recently developed a Twitter randomizer. And what it actually does is allows you to visit a link and it randomly picks out a PE teacher that you can follow and to get your professional learning journey started. And you can visit that by going to thepegeek.com/PEgeeks. And it will do its magic and find you one person that you can read about and follow and use that to grow your audience. So a bit of a novel way to do it. Now, if you're really new and haven't even thought about using Twitter, then it's a fantastic method for connecting with people who have similar interests. And in this particular realm, I connect with people that have interests in physical education. Now, I've set up a challenge that will get you started with using Twitter and connecting with the right people. And you can access that at 14daytwitterchallenge.com. And essentially, it'll take you to a page on my blog that has 14 days and a step-by-step challenge for each of the days and how to do it to get you started and to get you using Twitter in a really effective way for professional learning. So I absolutely challenge you to do that if you haven't. Now, without further ado, the person that has continually inspired me since pretty much the start of the Twitter journey is Brendan Jones. Now, Brendan is a PE teacher in New South Wales, Australia. He is actually one of the original PE geeks. He myself and a couple of others were initially sharing information related to technology and PE, and he is forever one of the people that will have a big place in my mind in terms of influence on the community that has grown ever so large. So well done, Brendan, for all the work that you do. I love the fact that he is constantly challenging everyone and their thoughts and opinions, and he's definitely an asset to the community. So definitely, if you don't already, follow him, and you can find him by visiting thepeergeek.com/episode4. And on that page, you'll find a link to his Twitter profile. So, yeah, definitely check him out. So that brings us to the end of episode 5 of the podcast. Now, like always, I really, really thank you for tuning in. And I also thank those people that have been on and left a review on iTunes. Now, those reviews not only help me to improve the show, but they also help others discover the show. So the more reviews we get, the more people that actually see it, and the better off that is for everyone in the community. Now, I've started to actually get a few people who have left voicemail messages, and in the coming weeks, I'm going to be piecing these together into a show, and it'll essentially be a show fueled by the things that you guys want. Now, if you want to leave a voice message asking a question about anything to do with PE and technology, you can do so by going to thepegeek.com/voicemail. And at that particular website, you can leave a 30-second question, and I'll do my best to answer it. And I absolutely promise you that as soon as I have enough of them to fill in the show, I'm going to put them together and respond and make it a show about the things that you guys are keen about. Further to that, I've only just released a brand new app, which is free for iPhone and Android, and it's the PE Geek podcast app. So if you're like me, you're constantly on the go, then this app is something that you can download and use to keep in touch with the podcast episodes. It automatically downloads them, and all the show notes are in there, as well as all the different products and apps and so on that we talk about in the show. So it's basically the resource that you can refer back to at any stage for information related to the podcast. So without further ado, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in episode 6.